back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major, a special pre-game edition. Dave here, along with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going good. We're kind of in like the dog days of winter at this point, and also the dog days of the hockey season. Somehow the Flyers have only played like, what, 35 games so far?
And yeah, thanks COVID.
Yeah, it's, we talked about this ad nauseum last week and also for the past however long we've had this podcast now, but just negativity surrounding the Flyers and not really much positivity to talk about.
No
pun intended either with the positive and negative, because obviously we have guys coming off of COVID and all that stuff. But we have two losses to quick talk about, and then we'll get to tonight's game in just under an hour here against the Bruins in Boston. After the Flyers did have a game postponed on Tuesday against the Carolina Hurricanes, that's going to be made up at a later date, which is yet to be determined.
And no idea why that game was postponed either, because both teams were like, the Flyers got players back and the Hurricanes like had no one in protocol. Yeah.
I mean, we can kind of jump right in here, but back on the 6th, when was that? I don't know. Back on the 6th.
Last Thursday. A week ago today.
The Flyers played the Penguins in the Wells Fargo Center with what, 6 guys out on COVID, basically put out a glorified AHL squad against a Penguins team that was on a 9-game winning streak. And I mean, even before the game, even before game day, everyone could smell disaster, and it was, and it just made it even worse because the game was broadcast on ESPN Plus and Hulu, obviously, which is like the NHL's golden goose when it comes to streaming and getting their games out there to a wider market. The Flyers got killed 6-2. And again, they had a heavily depleted roster, missing guys like Claude Giroux, Travis Konechny, Travis Sanheim.
Provorov.
Yeah, like it was just a complete train wreck, and everyone kind of knew it was coming too, but it still just hurt to watch. Yeah. And I mean, the Flyers again, it was just oof. And I'm a big fan of John Buccigross and Ray Ferraro. They do the ESPN commentary for the NHL, but I mean, they were making it seem like the Penguins were sticking it to a perfectly healthy Flyers team, where it's like, they're like, oh, like Pittsburgh is rolling right now, and like the Flyers couldn't establish any sort of momentum. And it's like, all right, like I understand you have to be partial here, but it's like maybe at least mention the fact that it's like, hey, the Flyers don't even have half their team playing right now.
Yeah, it's the Lehigh Valley Phantoms playing the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yet this team is still playing, and it pissed a lot of people off too, because that same night. It was the Red Wings and I forget the other team.
The Ducks. The Flyers just played.
Yeah, their game got postponed because of, I think, quote, pretty much paraphrasing here, but the NHL PR released a statement saying the game was going to be postponed because of COVID-19 affecting the Red Wings. And the Red
and
Wings
the Ducks.
Had...
It was both teams.
Yeah. The Red Wings had 5 guys out on COVID, and the Flyers had 6. Yet the Flyers game doesn't get postponed. So, I mean.
Well, you see, that's because there's this thing called a cash cow.
Yeah.
And the league just signed this big deal at the ESPN Plus. So, this is the second time in less than a full calendar year where the Flyers have gotten screwed by the NHL and their TV contracts. Because if you remember, they were forced to send out essentially the Lehigh Valley Phantoms at Lake Tahoe against the Boston Bruins last year, and they got shit kicked in that game too.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't mean to gripe here, but I mean, it's just, it's like, again, when it goes back to our point where it's like, at what point does the product on the ice get affected? Because nobody wants to watch, like, nobody wants to watch these types of games. Where it's,
I mean,
like,
Penguins fans loved it because they don't care that the Penguins face the lesser opponent. They're like, oh, suck it, Philadelphians.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, obviously COVID has ravaged all of sports these past 2 years, but I mean, just now with, I mean, again, we got into it last week, so we won't get into it this week.
Yeah.
The Flyers got killed. Again, it was 6-2, and then we were hoping for some measure of redemption on that Saturday, the 8th, against the San Jose Sharks. They came to the Wells Fargo Center. Dave, you were at the Eagles game with your lovely wife. Sadly,
freezing our tails off.
Sadly, they got destroyed.
That was by choice. The Dallas Cowboys started all their starters, and the Eagles are like second stringers and third stringers. Here, go, have fun.
Yep.
So, it was a good first half of football, and then the second half was just, okay, this is not fun, and we left at the start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, so again, that game, albeit I'm sure it was very fun to go to an Eagles game, the game itself didn't really matter because I believe the Cowboys had already clinched the NFC East while the Eagles had clinched their wild card.
It mattered for seeding, like who was going to finish where and what opponents.
Oh, all right. But now we know the Eagles are playing the Buccaneers on Sunday and they have to play Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. So that should be interesting to say.
41-33, ring any bells? I think it does. But, suck it, Tom Brady.
A quick go Birds before we get back to the Flyers here.
Go Birds.
So the San Jose Sharks came to town. Martin Jones finally got to start against his former team after getting denied the crease in San Jose a couple weeks ago.
And
but
he blew it.
Yeah, I mean, the Flyers as a whole kind of blew it again. But
What's that movie from? You blew it. Isn't that
Billy Madison?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Billy.
It's one of the Adam Sandler movies, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Billy Madison.
I believe the Flyers had a 2-0 lead in the third period.
Yes.
And they lost 3-2 in overtime.
No, they basically, the Flyers lost to Thomas Hertl because it was a war of attrition for the first two periods with neither team scoring until the third. The Flyers opened the scoring. James Van Riemsdyk has one power play goal, sorry. But he opens the scoring in the third period with a snapshot, really good goal, and then scores again on the power play. Also, on his second goal, Cam York did get an assist, which was his first NHL point. So congrats to York on that.
Golf claps all around.
And then single-handedly, not even lying, Thomas Hertl beat the Flyers because he scored two goals in the span of less than 7 minutes to tie the game. And then the game goes into OT, and 24 seconds into overtime, he scores to the game winner to get a hat trick.
He had a hat trick.
Yes. So he got a natural hat trick in the span.
At Chuck. He's a UFA this summer.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So just, again, another gut punch for us as Flyers fans. Yippee. We're kind of used to it at this point. Like,
oh, yeah.
Which brings us, again, we can kind of speed things up since we're trying to get this episode out and to the people before the game, or at least maybe during first intermission. But the Flyers, again, are, what is it, behind the eight ball, I think is the right phrase to use here. But they, everyone on Twitter, and I myself like to use this phrase, they shipped up to Boston earlier today, and they are playing the Boston Bruins on ESPN. Not ESPN Plus, ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports. They will be broadcast for all to see. And I just have a terrible, as Han Solo once said, I have a bad feeling about this.
Well, Tuukka Rask is making his return to the Boston Bruins and starting in net. So, therefore, he's getting a shutout, and the Bruins are going to stomp all of the Flyers.
Yes.
Or there's a small possibility that he could be rusty And the Flyers, who usually play Tuukka Rask pretty well, could light him up. But I think the first option is going to happen, based off of their recent body of work and how this season has gone.
Yeah, I am not going to get my hopes up. The Flyers, have they played Boston yet this season?
Bad radio. Let me check.
Yes,
not in December. Was it in October?
So they've split the season series so far.
That's right. They won 6-3 back on October 20th. And then they lost 5-2 on November 20th. So October 20th, they won. November 20th, they've lost. One good game, one not so good game.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Bruins coming off a win against, who was it last night?
Montreal.
Yes. A 5-1 win. Brad Marchand. God, I hate him. Sorry. But he scored a hat trick.
Orange or black, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a guy you love to hate, but you would love him in a Flyers uniform. I'll say that. But, yeah, so they beat the Canadiens very easily, 5-1 last night. And the Flyers come to town, obviously, tonight, just under an hour here. But this could go one of two ways. The Flyers, I mean, unless you live under a rock, you know how the Flyers have played as of late. If you're a Flyers fan, there's no predicting what this team is going to do, whether they're going to look like they actually know how to play hockey and put up a snowball's chance in hell of winning a game, or they're just going to get completely torn apart like the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, there's only one way to find out, and we're going to find out in about 50-ish minutes when the game starts. So we will see what happens. I mean, luckily the Flyers are healthy, and it looked like they were having fun at practice today based on the team's social media posts.
Yeah.
Keith Yandel was reunited with his nephew, Bo, Jimmy Hayes' 2-year-old son. So, of course, the Flyers shot some pics on the social for those, and that was a nice moment. And it was Ivan Provorov's birthday yesterday and Claude Giroux's birthday on Tuesday, I believe.
I think, I think it's the other way around.
Oh, was it?
I think so.
Right.
But,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Who cares? Whatever. There's two birthdays.
Just this win the damn game.
Provorov and Claude Giroux.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully.
I will
hopefully
say
it's
one
like an injection of a boost of positive energy, and this team can win a friggin' hockey game.
I mean, I think there's also going to be some emotion surrounding this game too, because I believe this is Kevin Hayes' first game in Boston.
Yes.
Since his brother passed away, so I'm assuming they do some sort of tribute before the game, or at least during warmups or something along those lines. And then, I mean, just hopefully the Flyers can win it for Jimmy, as they say, or win it for Broadway. Because, I mean, you've seen that type of stuff where some things are bigger than sports, and it just, some nights it's meant to happen. So, I mean, there's a lot of emotion surrounding this game. The Flyers, I mean, where are they at in the standings here? They're what? 11 points out of, no, sorry, 9 points. Out of a wild card spot behind the Bruins.
9 points back. Yeah, they're not making the playoffs this year.
They have a mountain to climb, but I mean, at least 2 points tonight against a good team like Boston would be something. Again, it's not looking good here for their playoff chances as of late. And things aren't going to get any easier. So you just got to win games. It's simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, They're 4-3-3 in their last 10 games, and that ain't good enough, Chief.
No.
So essentially that's 4-6. But yay, 3 loser points. Woohoo.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, that just about does it, I think. Again, we can kind of preview. If the Flyers can somehow find their game, at least for tonight, they'll win. If not, it could get ugly. Again, like you said, Dave, it's kind of their luck where someone comes back from an injury or someone's first game or someone needs a goal, a.k.a. who I think it was Ben Chiarot from the Montreal, scored his first goal in 5 seasons against the Flyers when they played them a few weeks ago. Like, it's just it's the Flyers' luck where that type of stuff happens. So,
and the Flyers' upcoming games are very crucial because if they think they have a chance of getting back in the hunt, so you're telling me there's a chance. They really they have a lot of games coming up here where if they get points and regulation wins and 2 points, they can be right back in the thick of it. Because Boston tonight, they've got the Rangers on Saturday evening. And then they have a back-to-back Monday and Tuesday night against the New York home-and-home against the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
And you play the Columbus Blue Jackets next Thursday the 20th. And then on the 22nd, you play Buffalo. So that's your next week plus in games.
Yeah.
And those are all, I mean, the only team that I kind of go at is the Rangers because they're legitimately good. But, like, the way the Islanders have played this year, they're beatable. The Blue Jackets are beatable. Buffalo is definitely beatable. But with this Flyers team, you just never know. Like, on paper, you think these should be Flyers wins. But based off of what we've seen this year, that's not the case, and it's really up for grabs. And it's like a roll of the dice. Like, what Flyers team are we going to get tonight?
Yeah, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Hopefully
it leans in their favor. Because if it doesn't, I mean, this week alone, if they lose these games or give up overtime losses where they're giving away points to other teams in the division in the wildcard hunt, they're sealing their fate. Like, then we'll know.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've said this again X amount of times about, hey, here's what's coming up for the Flyers. These games are all winnable, and they win two of them.
Two out of five.
Yeah, like, so let's just hopefully get through tonight, and then we'll go from here. But again, like you said, Dave, the Flyers with the, a few games coming up here. Hopefully we'll be back next week. I believe you have Men's League, though, on
again on Wednesday.
Yep. So we will reach out to our followers via the Twitter sphere and on Facebook to let everyone know when our next episode will be. That is to be determined. But the Flyers, again, play the Rangers on Saturday night in the Wells Fargo Center, have a home-and-home with the New York Islanders on Monday and Tuesday night. Monday is Martin Luther King Day. Shout out MLK. I have a dream that the Flyers win a damn game. So
I see what you did there, sir.
Yeah. And then they have Columbus on the 20th on Thursday, and then Buffalo on a Saturday matinee game in Buffalo at 1 p.m. So we will roll the dice with this Flyers team and see what the hell happens here. But
yeah,
Dave, what I guess speaking of dice, I'm gonna do like a six degrees of Kevin Bacon thing here. So speaking of dice, Vegas, the Golden Knights, have Nolan Patrick. And speaking of Nolan Patrick, we had another hindsight is 2020, yet it still pisses you off moment. Yes. Happened this week when was Flyers president?
Yeah, I believe he's the – well, Paul Holmgren is the president of hockey operations. So I'm not sure what Bobby Clark's official title is.
Front office member, former Flyer legend, Bobby Clark. But Dave, I'll let you take the reins on this since you do have the articles up. But there were a lot of ruffled feathers this week, once again, with some things coming to light from the past about Flyers draft picks.
So Bobby Clark was on the Cam and Strick podcast, which is Cam Jansen and Andy Strickland. I guess he was on as their like main ghost, their main interviewee, and he pretty much just he confirmed things that we have already heard from scouts and fellow beat writers. But hearing it come from Bobby Clark, who is like Mr. Philadelphia Flyer, mm-hmm. you know, hearing it from him is like, okay, this is definitely true, and WTF, mate, and I'm angry all over again about this. We're not going to take forever to discuss this, but Bobby Clark pretty much confirmed all of our worst nightmares. He reinforced the points that Ron Hextall shut all the scouts and everyone else in team upper management out, and they all wanted to draft McCarr, and Hextall just went ahead and picked Nolan Patrick. He also then claims that all the scouts and IR and other high office executives had no idea that he made the Braden Schenn trade to St. Louis, that he went in a room and locked himself in it and made the deal. And apparently they were all pissed off about that. Now, to be fair, we did end up getting Morgan Frost, who you're hopefully pans out, but you got Joel Farabee from that. So, like, I think that that's kind of like a, we had Yoel Lettera, but you got Joel Farabee, which I feel like makes it a pretty, as of right now, an even, like, decent trade. And the big stinger was the thing that I hadn't heard in a while, was he was saying apparently the Flyers also that draft had a chance to trade for Ryan O'Reilly from Buffalo. And you're hearing all these things, you're like, oh my, could you imagine, like, if we had drafted Kyle McCarr, if we had made that trade, because then you think, you make that trade for Ryan O'Reilly, okay, now your top two centers are Sean Couturier and Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Like, poof, holy crap. Mm-hmm. You've got an elite playmaking defenseman, and then you've got arguably two of the best defensive centers in the entire world. But I mean, this is all stuff we knew, and everyone, you got Flyers Twitter in a hubbub yet again, like it always is. But the fact that you're hearing it from Bobby Clark, that was the big thing.
Yeah.
Because normally you don't hear ex-Flyers or ex-guys who are part of that club talk trash on the other. And this just goes to show you how, I think, pissed off the organization and its members are with how Ron Hextall ran this organization when he was general manager.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
there's nothing we can do about it now. I mean, what's happened has happened, and we are in this. We are sitting in the seat we are in for other multiple reasons.
Yes,
but man, it just boils my blood because Ron Hextall was a fraud.
Yes,
and we've said this before, and now he is GM of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I can only hope that he does to the Penguins what he did to the Flyers. But it's just like, there's no point in getting, like, I mean, of course everyone's angry, but there's no point to, we don't
need
to
learn this. You can't change, like, the past.
I think the only thing we can really do is whenever the Penguins come to town next time, we find Ron Hextall's car or we egg the Penguins bus or something. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where it was like someone tweeted the picture of Hextall, and it was the quote from The Dark Knight where it was, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And like,
yes,
I mean, it's crazy how, like, when people look back at Ron Hextall now, they're going to think, like, damn, like, he was a damn good goalie, like one of the, like, the epitome of a Flyer, like, in, like, one of the Flyers' best goalies ever. And then he
he was a bad GM.
But yeah, he was a horrible GM. Like,
and the other point that Clark brought up too is saying how they had a couple first round picks who are never going to be anything. And that is in reference to Nolan Patrick and German Rubstoff.
I mean, it just seems like the Flyers are the only team that have this stuff come to light. Like,
and only in Philadelphia.
And it just, again, it breeds even more apathy towards the team, where it's just like, we've been given false hope for the past aside from the Hextall era, the past decade has just been complete and utter hopelessness at times, where, I mean, maybe not complete and utter hopelessness, but there's been little to none, where it's like every time there's some ray of hope that you think is going to turn the franchise around, it doesn't happen. And I mean, it's just getting tougher and tougher, where you think this team finds rock bottom, and then they find a new rock bottom and another one and another one. And it's like,
they keep on digging deeper.
It just has to come to the point where, I mean, I hate to say it, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but you just got to blow the team up and start over.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, that's what they kind of have to do. And I mean, you find a way, you keep Carter Hart, you keep Joel Farabee. I personally keep Ivan Provorov.
Oh, yeah.
But I build around those three.
And I mean, you know, I'd probably keep Couturier. I don't know. I guess we could talk
if
about
you're going
this.
To go full rebuild and blow it up, you can get hella good assets for Sean Couturier, I feel
that's
like.
That's true.
If you're going to blow it up and you are really going to suck,
yeah,
you keep Provorov, you keep Hart, and you keep Farabee. Everyone else, tradable.
It's just, I mean, it's sad. Like, when you look at it from a fan perspective, like, I mean, a prime example, the Flyers have wasted Claude Giroux's entire career.
Yeah.
Aside from that one trip to the Stanley Cup final back in 2010, they've wasted his whole career.
Second year in the league.
With a pretty constant revolving door of forwards, coaches, GMs, and everything. I mean, he's had some great players with him in the past, like Wayne Simmonds, Voracek, obviously had guys like Richards and Carter.
But never enough.
But never, yeah, it's never been enough where, I mean, it's just, again, we could talk about this all day. It's just, it's hard. It sucks. That's the bottom line. But we're here now. The Flyers are in Boston to play the Bruins. Again, Tuukka Rask is making his season debut for the Bruins, and we don't know if he's going to be the Tuukka Rask that we fear. Not fear, but the Tuukka Rask that we know is good, or the Tuukka Rask that somehow sometimes pokes his head out and gets lit up by the Flyers, especially, again, like you said earlier, Dave, that he's rusty. He hasn't played a game all season. I think his two games in Providence were also canceled.
They were postponed because of COVID. So this is his first game action.
He's coming in cold turkey, as they say. So we'll see. But
I mean, Boston's a good enough team where they can have a cold turkey goaltender and their structure enough. They can isolate it and they can only let him see the shots they want him to see.
Yes.
Because they are a damn good hockey team. So.
But with that, Dave, I think we will go to around the league. And actually, yes. we have a central hub city, throwing it back to the bubble days a couple years ago for the playoffs. But we have a central hub city pretty much that we're going to stay in for around the league, which is the city. Is it city? No, City of Lights is Paris. I'm an idiot. We Sin City, I'll say that, in Las Vegas, because we have we'll have some all-star game stuff here in a couple minutes. But one of the big stories out of Vegas that we'll touch on first is Jack Eichel. In case you didn't know, obviously he went through all the stuff with Buffalo, finally got traded to the Vegas Golden Knights back in November, I believe. Yeah, 8 days after he was acquired in the trade. But he did skate with the team for the first time on Tuesday, which from NHL.com and Nick Katsanika. Sorry, Nick, if I mispronounce your last name. But Nick has said that it has prompted two main questions. When will he debut for the team, and how quickly can he regain his form as one of the best players in the NHL? Obviously, the timeline, he said, is uncertain as he recovers from his neck surgery he had back in November on the 12th. But he was in a red non-contact jersey at an optional morning skate and was quoted saying, "I was actually thinking about suiting up tonight, but they wouldn't let me go." As he joked, and he said, "I wish I could have played." Obviously, the Golden Knights did lose to the Maple Leafs on Tuesday night in a 4-3 shootout. He said that there isn't a target date at this point, and he said it's a see how you feel and see how you progress and how confident and comfortable you are. I think at that point you'll know. I feel like I'll know mentally and physically and emotionally when I'm ready to go. But the article does say that no one should get excited too quickly. Eichel hasn't played in almost a year since the Sabres lost 5-2 at the Islanders back on March 7th of 2020. I guess, or is that 2021? I don't know. Over a year. Been a long damn time since he's played a game. But again, I mean, a guy like Eichel, he's good for the game. Vegas is like the perfect spot for him because they have a very solid team. They have a good team, and he just is going to make them a lot better once he is back to playing and once he hopefully – again, I like him as an individual, but, I mean, you want to see the guy back to 100% after all the stuff that he went through.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that Buffalo didn't let him get the surgery he wanted because he was quoted as saying, like, why did I have to go through all this? I got the surgery I wanted to, and then that night – I was having dinner with my parents.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, Buffalo, what the hell were you doing? And now Vegas is like, hey, cool, we have a franchise center final. We have a legitimate first line center finally. So now you're slotting, you've got, you know, whenever he is healthy, you have Eichel and then Carlson and then Chandler Stephenson. 1, 2, 3. There you go. And your top line is probably Eichel, Pacioretty, and Stone. Sign me up, yes, please. So good for Eichel, and hopefully we'll see him sometime soon because it's good for the league when he's playing.
Agreed. And next we excuse me. We were going to move on to this, but they actually have not been announced yet. The All-Star Game rosters are to be revealed tonight. In the next few minutes here, so maybe I'm gonna keep an eye on the Twitter sphere as we finish up here in the next few minutes. But they're supposed to be announced on ESPN during SportsCenter right before the Flyers Bruins game at 7. But I have not seen anything on Twitter so far yet. So I believe it has not happened.
Surprising. Where's Frank Saravalli with that roster leak?
I don't know. Someone actually, Craig Morgan from the Coyotes, he tweeted a funny tweet a few minutes ago and said, I assume that ESPN will eventually reveal the NHL All-Star selections right after it discusses everything else on the planet. We know how ESPN is with their everything but hockey, where it's like, oh man, check out LeBron James's new deodorant, or can you believe what KD did in the Latin? It's like, all right, no one cares. Like, you're broadcasting hockey now too. Let's get to that as well.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I got a little off sidetracked.
No, you're all good. You're all good.
ESPN,
man.
And their coverage of the sick league known as the NBA. But yeah, so we'll wait for that. But we actually did have a different type of roster reveal. The men's Olympic team for the United States was announced just a few minutes ago. If you want to look at the full roster, you can go on social media or just go on USAHockey.com. I'm sure it's available everywhere, anywhere you find hockey news at this point. But we do have two Flyers on that team. We have Noah Cates, the forward, and we have goaltender Pat Nagel, who is spending time with the Phantoms at this point. So congrats to them both for being
selected. I knew about Cates. I had no idea who Pat Nagel is.
I just found out about him on Twitter about 10 minutes ago when I looked at
this. Sounds like he must be one of those career minor leaguer ECHL goalies who's having a somewhat decent year in the American League.
But so congrats to those two. The Flyers will be, I guess, well represented. I don't want to say not well represented, because I mean, to have two guys in the Olympics is cool, but I don't know. So
there's rumors the KHL might not send their players too.
Oh, Russia. But the roster is official now with, again, I'll let everyone go onto the website just to look up the entire roster. But a lot of these guys, I don't even know who they are, I'm sorry to say. But, I mean, since it came out that the NHL was officially not going to the Olympics, you assume that a lot of these guys would be from like Euro leagues who are Americans or just
college,
AHL, stuff like that. So, but again, I think these guys deserve a shot. So, it'll be good to, at least we'll see hockey at the Olympics.
Yeah. That's at the end of the day, that's even though it's not the level, the quality of product we were expecting and, or wanting, at least it's still happening. So.
Exactly. And then since I do not have – we are at the kind of the end of the things here, and we do not have the All-Star Game rosters, we will tweet that out whenever that happens in the next few minutes about who made it from the Flyers. Maybe, obviously, it's at least one guy from each team in the league. So, Dave, any predictions? We can at least do that. Any predictions on who you think is going to represent the Flyers at the All-Star Game in Las Vegas?
Giroux or Atkinson? It's not going to be both, but one or the other.
I'm going to go with the easy pick, Giroux. I think he
Hart could be a sleeper pick. I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but Carter Hart could be a sleeper pick. But I honestly think it's Giroux.
Yep. But, I mean, I think Giroux deserves it out of anyone the most on the team, because this could be one of his last All-Star games of his career. So I think he deserves that one last ride, so to speak, potentially. But, All-Star weekend is off to a good start. We do have a jersey watch, Dave. Thank you for bringing this to my attention earlier via Twitter. But the All-Star game jerseys did get revealed, and I'm going to give them if I had more than two thumbs, I would give them more than two thumbs up, because the NHL hit the nail on the head this time around with good All-Star game jerseys. Yes. And Dave, I will let you take the reins here as to why, because I will agree with you 100% on the vibes that they give off.
They're just early 2000s, 90s classic vibes. They're simple. They're clean. Like, I just really like them. It's like, I feel like in years past, the NHL has tried to have a really busy All-Star jersey, and they just have been ugly. This is a traditional hockey jersey. It's got good colors. It's well organized. It's to the point and direct. You know what it is, and it is going to look good on the ice. So, zero complaints here. Would also give four thumbs up if I could give four thumbs up.
We can sauce a retweet or a quote tweet of the NHL on our Twitter here to show everyone, but I'll try and describe the jerseys as best I can over audio. I don't really think there's a home and away, but there's mainly a blue, a dark blue with a white and lighter blue accent. And there's also a mainly white with a red and black accent on the sleeves and on the waist as well. They also do have these stars, it looks like, on the sleeves. And then I'm sure on the shoulder patch, it'll be the team logo of whatever team the player is representing. And then the All-Star Game logo on the other shoulder, I would assume. Yep. So a patch on each shoulder, the NHL crest on the front, player's number, stars. So like you said, Dave, it's good because Adidas in the past, we've seen jerseys that are too simple and just boring. But these are simple, but again, they bring back that early 2000s, late 90s vibe of like the jerseys that like popped, and these are good. I like these. Yes. They're simple, but they work. So
it's like a level of elegance to these.
Exactly. So a jersey watch with three thumbs up, Dave, you're giving it four. But again, I will give Twitter one more refresh before we end this thing for the night and see if we do have breaking news. We do not. So
womp womp.
We'll get them next time, as they say. You can't win them all. But Dave, I'll throw it to you here just to wrap up our quick episode here so we can get prepared for what should be a Flyers game. I'm not going to use any adjective. It's just going to be a Flyers game.
A hockey game that the Philadelphia Flyers
It could go one of a million ways. Yes. So it will be a Flyers game, and we'll see how long it takes for us to turn it off.
Or keep it on.
Yeah, so we'll see. But Dave, again, like I said, I'll throw it to you here to wrap things up for us this week.
Yeah, no, definitely. And neither of us will be watching the Flyers game Saturday night, because we'll be taking in some American Hockey League action, because it is my bachelor party this weekend. So we're getting ready to turn down for what as that. That's is that Little John?
Yeah.
I'm showing my age here by trying to second guess who that is. But no, hopefully we can get some good Flyers hockey in tonight and this weekend. Big games. They're important games, but the Flyers have disappointed us in the past this season with those. So with that, we will bid everyone an adieu for this week, and we will return some point next week, whether that's Tuesday or Thursday again. Thank you to my lovely Beer League schedule and the Flyers for having Tuesday, Thursday games almost every week now. So, yeah, that's where we're at. But with that, everyone, keep on staying safe. Enjoy your time. Try and enjoy watching this Flyers team. But if not, watch another hockey team that brings you joy, because you need to do that to keep on watching the Flyers. You know, for me, that's the Avalanche.
So. Enjoy the long weekend, too.
Exactly. MLK Day weekend. Thank you. Black Lives Matter, of course, as always. But with that, everyone, enjoy your safe, fun holiday weekend, and we will see all of you next week. Let's go Flyers.